Now, I welcome into my world an old friend, Dr. Ann Beal, the co-editor of True Stories About Love. So you made nothing up. They're all true stories?
They are all true.
All true stories.
All of
what
them.
Motivated you to do this book?
You know what? I actually...
fell in love.
I did fall in love.
One of these stories is your story.
One of them is my love
story.
So
can I'll tell this on the air. I was going to say, can I tell this on the air? But... I will anyway. So the last time I spoke to you, well, I've talked to you since on the phone.
You have.
Yeah. But saw you in person. It was before the pandemic. And then the pandemic happened. And then I'm watching on Facebook, of course, where you follow everyone's lives. Mm. I'm saying, oh, my God, she got married.
Not yet. I got engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. But how nice.
It's been very nice. Well, we got together very quickly and we ended up moving in right before the pandemic. We had only been together a few months. And I can tell you that a good test of a relationship is moving in during the pandemic.
Because you're both stuck with each other for better or worse.
It's been great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So one of the stories is here, which we'll talk about your story in a moment. But explain what these stories are, because they are so romantic, but not necessarily. Some of them are love stories between friends, even.
Yeah, we actually wanted to, my co-editor and I, Judy Goshen, we wanted to celebrate love, but we wanted to celebrate all kinds of love, not just romantic love. So we put out a call for submissions from storytellers all around North America and said, send us a story about love. And we got stories, love for pets, love for passionate interests, romantic love, love for friends. We had love for the 69 Cubs is in there.
I like that one, yes. I've got that same love. It didn't work out quite the way I would have liked it to have worked out. So it's called The Ocean.
It is.
So tell us the story.
Well, you know, as I kind of like to say, meeting my fiancé changed my view of love. I always looked at love as this kind of experience that kind of hits you squarely between the eyes and knocked you off your feet. And when I met Michael, I felt like I had met him before, like I knew him. We really just understood each other. We finished each other's sentences pretty quickly. And it was a relationship that was very easy and very lovely, but it wasn't a relationship where one person was chasing the other one or whether there was, you know, some kind of crazy love triangle or anything like
that.
There
was no drama.
There was no drama. It was so easy. And I realized over the course of getting to know him that what I thought I had been looking for, I had not been looking for.
What do you mean?
You know, I think I was looking for the excitement of falling in love. But what I was really looking for was a great partnership with a true equal who really valued me and supported me and who was really there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you, I said, there's three things I'm not going to do. I'm certainly not taking up with a guy who has a dog.
Well, before we get to number two and three. So you're a cat person.
I am.
You've been on my pet shows because you've written books about cats.
Yes.
Did you talk to your cat about this first?
Yes. We had a long conversation.
Yeah. And? And they said the D word is okay, but how about for you?
Yeah, I actually really love my dog. So, yeah. My dog is his dog, but now my dog. So, yeah. Izzy, you'll have to meet her.
I'd love to. So, have you lived with a dog before?
I have never lived with
a dog. So, what was the most surprising thing about living with a dog?
You know, I was surprised that she's so affected by every little thing. She's so smart and intuitive, and she's so got us wrapped around her little paw, you know?
They read people really well.
They do.
Yeah, they evolved with us.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, there's another book there for you who has written 74,000 books. Every week goes by and she writes a book. Something occurs to you and you say, I've got to write a book about it. So that's number one. You never thought you'd be living with a dog?
Yeah, a dog.
Yeah. Number two.
Number two, I said, I'm not taking up with a guy who has kids. No way. Yeah.
Because?
I just thought that might be complicated.
Uh-huh. And you're an adult.
Yeah.
Without your kids. Yeah. Without kids. Yeah. So therefore...
Yeah, I actually really love my sons. So I call them my sons. They're fabulous young men, super wonderful, smart, handsome, feminist young men.
Did they welcome you with open arms?
Oh, they did. They did, yeah.
How old are they?
They are 18 and 21.
Wow. Yeah. And they didn't have to.
No, they did not. And they have not necessarily always been super receptive to different people. So, yeah, no, they were
what
great.
Is it, what was it about you, do you think? What's the secret, if there is one, to remember the show My Three Sons?
Yeah.
And I forget the lady's name Fred McMurray, I forget his character's name, that he eventually married. And the three sons said, oh, that's fine. But that's not always real life.
No, it's not. I think that they saw something special between Michael and I, and I think there's something very special among the four of us. In fact, we took a road trip last year to Wyoming, and we were in the car for 14 days together.
What was that like?
Fabulous.
What did you do in the car all that time?
We went to the Badlands, and we went
hiking. But that's a lot of driving.
Well, so
were you doing the license plate game, or...?
We drove. We drove everywhere. So it was
fun. Did you talk about?
Everything.
Really? Do they feel comfortable enough with you and you with them to talk about everything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I think when you travel in a car for a 14-day trip, you get to know each other really well.
Yeah. Again, for better or worse. And then number three?
Number three, I said, I'm never living in the suburbs. Never. No,
and now
I'm
you're
a city girl.
In a suburb.
Now I live in the suburbs.
Although Evanston, I hope. It's okay if
yeah,
I
is.
Say.
Yeah.
So Evanston is a city, really. Mm-hmm. And also it's the most like a city and Oak Park, I would suggest, than any of the other suburbs around Chicago.
It is. It is quite different. But
great
it has
restaurants.
Great restaurants, and it's easy to find parking. So
around where you lived in Chicago, it wasn't always easy to do. So what surprised you most about some of these other love stories?
I was absolutely surprised by the way that people talked about love for so many different things. People talked about falling in love with someone who is much younger and maybe not considered an appropriate match for them. And then they went on to have a 30-year relationship with this person. And I was surprised by people who found love in places I didn't really think that you would look for love. One woman was overcoming the pain of a divorce, and she joined a salsa class and fell in love with a man who was her salsa partner. And they were totally from different worlds. He was from Mexico, and you know he was at a totally different stage in his life and at a different looking for different things, and yet they had this beautiful love that really helped her kind of heal from the pain of her divorce. And there are so many stories like that. The pet story is a good one where a young woman wanted to have children and she tried for 4 years, all kinds of treatments. And she always used to say, I hate dogs. And she had a terrible operation where she was, again, trying to get pregnant. It wasn't working. And her mom came to visit and they basically went to the local shelter and her mom said, you have to look at the dogs. And she said, oh, my gosh, that dog has the name that I was planning on giving to my child that I will never have.
Wow.
She took the dog home. She said, that dog has healed me. So many places that people found love and so many ways that love affects our lives.
Absolutely. A salsa class, huh? That's why they call it hot sauce, I suppose.
Confessions of a Salsaholic is the title of that chapter.
All right. We'll talk more about love. And I want to know whether you agree with Tanya Francisco and Amy Rutledge of WGN-TV. They were on the show earlier, and they said, a Valentine's Day gift? That's just a Hallmark-type holiday. I'm not into it. I want to know whether you are, and just between us, what you're going to get your fiancé if you are. That's next on WGN. Dr. Amy Beal is in the studio. You are, it's a doctor of love, is that right?
That is correct.
At least for the purposes of this book, which is called Storytellers, True Stories About Love. So where do you fall? Valentine's Day. Are you agreeing, and I don't know that I do, with Amy Rutledge and Tanya Francisco of Good Day Chicago, Daytime Chicago, and they say, Valentine's Day, that's just some made-up commercial thing. What do you think?
Well, I think...
Now, your answer is the official one.
Yeah, exactly.
It is the one we are all going to...
That's right.
Well, maybe not Tanya or Amy, but it's the one I will go by.
Yeah, no.
And millions of people.
Yeah.
No pressure.
You know, I'd say celebrate it. Why not? Why not celebrate love? And why only do it once a year? Why not be celebrating love all the time? So that's my answer. As far as, you know, the Hallmark holiday, I don't know. It's $3 to buy a card or whatever.
Not anymore. It's like $40 to buy a card, I think. They've gotten expensive. Have you noticed that?
I did notice that.
Yeah, they truly have. So you say you're going to celebrate.
I am, yeah.
What are you getting him?
I'm getting him concert tickets to a jazz concert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He did not know that.
He may have a clue on that.
Well, now he really has a clue.
Yeah.
That's for sure. All right, let's give some other examples of some other love stories that are in this book. One is called Coming of Age in an Urban Bubble by Dan Turkell.
Yes. So Dan is an esteemed storyteller.
Esteemed.
He is in the storytelling community in Chicago.
Which I need to ask you about. So what is the – and in fact, the title of the book, and then we'll get back to the story – but it's called Storytellers, True Stories About Love. Who are these storytellers? Are these people on the street that you're saying, oh, well, there's the guy who's telling some story. He's talking to himself, but that's not it?
No, he's not in there.
No.
His submission was rejected, sadly. But, well, we are, my co-editor, Judy Goshen, and I are part of the storytelling community.
What is that?
The storytelling community is a community of storytellers that tell stories all over the city of Chicago and all over, in fact, the world, but all over the United States.
Is this at bars when you've had too much to drink?
Actually events where there are either curated stories where there's a show that you might purchase tickets to. Those are often at bars and different types of venues.
Mm-hmm.
The Moth does a lot of these types of events.
The what?
The Moth.
That's a place?
The Moth is
not a thing.
It's also an avenue for storytelling. Or these sometimes are open mic events where storytellers come and there's an open mic, and for the next hour, people are going to go up and tell stories. Some of the best stories I've ever heard have been at these events.
Karaoke for stories?
Yeah, somewhat like that, sure.
Yeah. So you just go up there and tell a story?
Yeah.
Do they have to be true stories?
They have to be true stories. They have to be true.
Okay.
Yes, so no fiction.
But I assume people exaggerate.
It is possible.
Or tell their version.
It's possible.
Have you ever had a husband come up and tell one story and then the same story told by the wife, but it comes out very differently?
We've not had that situation, but I think we should do that.
Oh, just ask me and my wife and it'll happen instantly.
Absolutely.
So let's get back to Dan Turkell's story about coming of age.
Yeah, so Dan told this story actually at a storytelling open mic many years ago, and it kind of stuck with me. And then he submitted this story. But it's a story of how he fell in love with a young woman who was similar to him and worked at the local grocery store in Chicago. And she was kind of nerdy like him. And they would hang out. And in those days, he said that the supervisors kind of saw these two nerdy people kind of, you know, coming towards each other. And so they would give them the same breaks. And so they would go out and always eat lunch together. So one day he put his arm around her and said, you know, I really like you. And she had a response that he did not expect.
And this is at Broadway Finer Foods.
Broadway Finer
happened.
Foods, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, I knew that place. I don't think they're around anymore.
Not anymore.
But I knew that place
you
when
did.
It was
yeah.
around.
In
right.
Lakeview. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So as you read these stories, some of it will resonate because
you're human.
Yeah. Do you think that we are all rooting for romance?
I think we're all rooting for love.
Or are some so cynical now? Explain what that means. And or are we cynical to the extent now where we're not caring anymore?
No, I think that I believe that love is the undercurrent that drives a lot of our behavior, a lot of it. And I think we're looking for romantic love. I think we are looking to be loved. I think we're looking to love and contribute to other people. I think love is actually one of these things that is really important. And I think it's even more so now.
Is everything you said almost hardwired in the human being? Just
absolutely.
Because, and really the same whether you're in Japan or Saudi Arabia or Ethiopia or America.
Yeah, because I think when you look at the things that give your life meaning, they are the things related to love. They're your relationships. They're the things that you do with your life in terms of your work. The work that you love is the most meaningful work. And the people that
most people don't love their work, though, unfortunately.
That's sad. Yeah. I love my work.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think that the people that you know, are the people you love and the people who love you. You think about the moments of your life and it's sort of like a movie almost. But those are moments, I think, of love, really. I think those are the things that you recall. Those are the things that kind of mean everything to you at the end.
Is there a story that you didn't put in the book for a reason that you can explain? Because I suppose you had more stories than you had room for in the
book. We had many, many submissions. So unfortunately, we took the very best, but there were many that we could have taken and would have taken, but we just couldn't. As it is, it's already a fairly thick book. So,
well, yes and no. I mean, it's not too thick where it's overwhelming.
It's not War and Peace.
No, it's not. It's mostly peace, right?
Mostly.
It's Storytellers, True Stories About Love, edited by Ann Beale and also Judy Lee Goshen. Storytellers, you said I wanted to create a publishing house so the storytellers can put their stories, which we can hear, we can see, but put them in writing. And you said this is the first time that's been done.
So we are we founded a company called Chicago Story Press, and our sole objective is bringing storytellers to the printed page. So we bring them from the stage to the page. And so our objective is to really have these stories live forever, because you see them at a bar, you see them at an event, you don't recall them a year or so later, but we want them to live on forever. So that was our objective in putting this together. It's a total labor of love.
Of course it is. So this book is available where?
Amazon.
Oh, of course, because everything is available at Amazon. So these stories, as we talked about, it's about love of pets. It's about friendship. It's about romantic love. It's about all of that. I want to talk about love of pets a little bit. I know that resonates with you. It certainly does with me. So therefore, surprise would not be the right. Another person, yes, they might be surprised at the intensity of our relationship, of what the human-animal bond is. But I know you can talk about the human-animal bond.
I sure can. And I think you know of a couple books that I've written, Heartfelt Connections being really about the human-animal bond, and
yeah.
Then Helpful, Caring, and Cats that you and I did together. So I can talk a lot about how I think animals get us at some level that in some ways maybe sometimes humans don't always.
Do you think that our dogs and cats understand us better than we do them?
Oh, I think so. Oh, most definitely.
That was a fast answer.
Yeah, I think so. I live with a dog and a cat. And I would say that it's interesting how much they watch us, much more than we watch them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they watch us more than many of our family members watch us.
Absolutely.
And I also think they are incredibly sensitive in ways that sometimes human beings are not. And so that bond is really a bond of understanding. And it is a bond of love, and we want to care for them, and they want, I think, to care for us. It is interesting. One thing that my dog does is if she thinks that I'm in any way being threatened, she will rush in and try and get between me and another family member, including she'll get between me and Michael, and she was Michael's dog.
Really?
Yes.
Wonder what that says about several different things. So are you fighting with Michael that the
No.
dog is jumping in there?
No. No.
Darn it. I thought we could cause a controversy here. So I want to back up to something you said about them wanting to, what did you say?
Care for us.
Yeah. Do you think that's true?
I think so. I actually think that a lot of times we think of them as really our like children or something. Like we take care of them. But I actually think.
Well, we call them fur babies.
We
now.
Do. Yeah. But I think actually they see themselves more as companions, and I think they will, they try and take care of us. I notice that when I am not feeling well, my cat comes over to me, and she will stay with me until I'm feeling better. What is that about? That's the cat being very clued into me and saying something's wrong here, and I want to be around.
And we don't even understand how they know very often. So it can be by our tone of voice. It can be maybe about things we say, but they're not understanding most of the words.
Well, and smell as well.
Yeah, so it must have to do with exactly what you said, and maybe even pheromones. So humans have long ago dropped the ability very much to pheromone communicate, as dogs do with other dogs and cats do with other cats. We don't do it with other people, but maybe our pets are picking up on our pheromones. Who
I'm
knows?
Sure of it. Yeah. I'm sure.
All right. Well, the name of the book, again, is Storytellers, True Stories. True stories. They've got to be true.
They have to be true.
Yeah, they've got to be true. True stories about love. Dr. Ann Beal, thank you so much. It's always good to talk to you.
Likewise. So nice to be here.